You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
To the listeners at home, you are not going to understand why this is so special, but if you've heard any number of our reviews, which I hope that you have, you'll likely know one of our reviewers' names is Doggett. And if you are a subscriber, which I think you totally should, there's a ton of content there and a ton of content coming, we do video versions of these reviews. The notable thing is that Doggett has never done a video review before. He doesn't like to show his face, but for the Korean horror drama Sweet Home, he has finally decided, for subscribers only, to show the world his face. So Doggett, welcome aboard.
Hey everyone! You know, my nose started bleeding, and then I woke up like this.
Flawless.
That was nice. Oh, it's more majestic than I could have ever hoped.
It really is. It's just, like, incredible. We are reviewing the Netflix original series... Fucking hell. We are reviewing the Netflix original series Sweet Home, a South Korean horror show that is based off of the webcomic of the same name. It is 10 episodes. It just launched, and we are here to talk about it. So, as we have mentioned here as the prime guest... There is Doggett, who has already introduced himself. My name is Davey, and with us is the lovely Harmony.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Doggett.
Hi.
Jesus Christ.
This is so bad.
Please be a subscriber so you can understand why this is funny. So, Sweet Home tells the story of a... apartment complex in the middle of, is it in Seoul or just in general South Korea?
Whatever the ghetto is, that's where they were.
Yeah. Okay, so somewhere around South Korea, not a super good part of town, we follow Hyun-soo, who is a, like, 17, 18-year-old boy who recently lost his family in an accident, and he's moved to this new place to try and kind of get away from the world. He's suicidal little piece of shit. I get it. And while he's there and trying to avoid talking to anyone, really, or having to think about any of his problems, monsters happen. There seems to be some sort of threat. It's kind of zombies. It's kind of not. It's got a lot of Resident Evil vibes going on. And slowly this group of him and the other survivors in this apartment complex that are having a lot of interpersonal tensions and breaking apart and coming back together and yada yada yada, you're pretty standard fare, all have to figure out a way to survive and hopefully escape and not get absolutely kebabbed by a dude with a real long tongue.
I mean, that's always a threat.
That really is the threat, both in life and in fiction.
That's true.
Don't get kebabbed by the tongue dude. He's weird, and he probably has syphilis. So what did you guys think? It's a very weird review. It's a very weird show, so it's fitting. Like, we couldn't pull this shit for, like, I don't know, what's an important film? News of the World? Is that important? That sounds important. Like, we couldn't do this for that, but this is nonsense, so we can be nonsensical. So what did you wonderful people, well, wonderful person and wonderful puppet, think of Sweet Home?
Don't call Harmony a puppet.
I know.
It's 2020.
That was harsh, Davey.
I'm sorry. My latent sexism is coming out.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. You know me, sexist Davey.
Shit, Davey's nose is bleeding. I don't know, did anybody else read the comic? Because I've read, like, the first few chapters, like, today.
I am fascinated that it is, like, an actual web comic that it was based off of, and it's really good. I enjoyed it a whole lot. It's generally horror is not what I steer towards, and Cronenberg S monsters generally not my jam either, but here we are, and I really want to read the comic. I want to see the source material.
Well, I thought it was interesting. It's an interesting adaptation because, you know, the webcomic is a Korean webcomic, mm-hmm. and it reads like that. And the characters are typical characters you'll find in a Korean webcomic. But the show is not that. The characters are very different, kind of. Except for the main character. He's somewhat similar.
Yeah.
Except
yeah,
okay. He's much sadder in the show. In, like, the comic, you know, he's typical protagonist. And in here, he's more downplayed, he's more feeble, and it's just so weird. And I'm really glad I watched the show first, because how do I put this? I like the show better.
You like the show better than the source material? Okay.
I like the show better, because in the comic, you know, the characters felt like cartoon characters. And, like okay, the brother, the one with the glasses in the show, like, he's more composed, collected, and very, like, toned down.
He becomes the leader of our
In the comic, he's a douchebag character. He's not a douchebag. He's the kind of character who has their eyes closed the entire time while they're talking. And if you've read any kind of comic, you know what that means for a character. It's just, you watching him's like, okay, when do you turn evil? And in the show, I felt like all the characters had more dimension to them, especially the female characters.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with you on that. That the brother, the stepbrother, who kind of becomes the leader, he steps up to be a leader, and that's all. That's not a great job to have in any kind of life-altering situation. So I felt that he was really multifaceted because he was doing what he thought was best for everybody. But he really came across as, like, a know-it-all kind of a dick, like, a good portion of the time.
But, like, you didn't think he was evil, did you?
No, I never thought he was evil. No, I just thought that he was doing what he thought was best.
And the thing that I found so interesting about that character, because he was honestly one of, if not my favorite character to follow, because he usually was right, mm-hmm. and the very few moments where that character kind of cracks a little bit, you can tell that he hates this, and he yeah. hates that he's doing it, but he is like, this is literally the only way that these people do not die, and so I have to be this, like, steel brick of a man, and
it's one of those special shows where everybody can have, like, their top five favorite characters.
Right.
Yeah. And they're all going to be different.
And it's definitely an ensemble type of piece. Like, I think that any of the characters removed, the story would be less for it.
Did y'all enjoy Korean Daryl?
Korean Daryl. I love Korean Daryl. Korean Daryl is the shit, man. Like,
Different character in the comic.
Very different? Okay. Good to know. I liked that. So I always had a hard time with The Walking Dead. I mean, you're going to find, like, some correlation and some similarities with The Walking Dead with this, because you've got your survivors, you've got monsters, zombies.
Zombies. Zombies, but again, it's like
monsters. They're called monsters. Yeah. Yeah. But I'd never really enjoyed The Walking Dead. I found it to be very hopeless. And this show, despite all the shit that gets thrown at these people, they are kind of hopeful, like, in a weird way. Like, there was never this feeling of, well, until the last couple episodes anyway, you know, everybody is evil, everyone's a monster, you know.
Well,
they're
not tearing each other apart. Is right. Like, one of the main things that's so enjoyable about this show. Like, you really get to, how do I put this? Like, in the webcomic, you can sometimes hear people's internal monologue, which is such a story cheat.
Right.
Yeah. But here, like, all you got are these actors and their expressions. Like, there's no, like, narrator in the show.
Like, occasionally they would do, like, the overdub where you could hear the... their thoughts.
Well, yeah, there's like the overdub, and, you know, occasionally, like, Imagine Dragons, like, helps out the scene
Imagine
a little bit.
Dragons.
They use
awesome.
It so much.
That is very typical to Korean dramas. They have, like, a couple of songs that they play for different moments, different beats, and it's always the same song. So that's really common in Korean dramas.
Tell me that's not the soundtrack to your life now. Tell me, like, you wake up in the morning, and, like, your alarm's going off, and you press snooze. But, like, you're laying in bed, and then you hear in your back of your head, like, we are the warriors. And, like, you get out of bed, and you get your day started.
I just know some shit's about to go down if that happens. You know, that's...
Yeah, like, because I remember the first time I heard it, I went, why is this Imagine Dragons? And then, like, the third time it happened, I was like, hell yeah, we are the warriors! And I think that was the intended... usage of it so many times was to just eventually get you hyped for it for a song that I don't even like.
Right.
So
are Koreans as obsessed about American music as teenage Americans are on Korean music?
I think it depends on the person. A lot of times for any of the Korean dramas that I've seen, the music is in Korean. Like it's not very common that I see a show that will utilize an English speaking song.
Interesting.
At least in the English-speaking artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really quick, can I ask everybody, what's everybody's favorite character?
I like Jesus guy. I know it's terrible with names. Like, Jesus sword guy. Like, he was pretty awesome, and I was pretty, yeah. I liked him. I think I would have to say I have, like, a top five. You know, we go with... Korean Daryl. Terrible that we're not using any of the character's name. Korean Daryl. I like Mr. Han, the fix-it, the guy in the wheelchair, engineer.
I like
guy.
Him a lot.
You got to put firefighter lady in there.
Firefighter lady.
Firefighter lady is good.
We need to do better at the names, guys. But
man, I don't remember American names.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, like there. To be fair, there are a lot of characters in this show. Like for
and
the majority
die
of the
as
show,
as much as you would think they would.
They don't.
We get really far into the series until we start losing like important people. Unlike you know, in something like Walking Dead, where you're like, oh, you don't know who's gonna be gone in that episode. You know,
and it's heartbreaking. It destroys your soul.
It was heartbreaking when we finally do start losing important people. I think because we build this relationship with them over a series of several episodes, that it was a lot harder to see them go or, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Stay out of that damn elevator. That's a bad elevator.
It is a terrible
elevator.
That's a bad
elevator.
And I think a lot of that comes down to the show spending so much time with these characters and with their... like past lives, but never in a way that feels manipulative or cheap. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. seems to genuinely enjoy being around these people. The show seems to have a lot of love for its entire cast, even the really shitty ones, like the mm-hmm. fucking shopkeeper who
oh,
is
fuck
the
that
worst.
Guy.
But I still feel like the show as an entity has love for that character and wants the best for them, even when they make that impossible. And that's the thing that sets it apart for me from something like The Walking Dead or really any of your standard zombie dramas or just general monster dramas. It is a show that doesn't want you to be unhappy, but says to tell this story, we're going to have to go to some shitty places and people are going to get hurt. And it's kind of sorry about that. And that's such a very unique feeling in this subgenre that I really, really like, because usually... oh, they're having an episode where they just talk. That means they ran out of budget. And no, like, there are really great... like, the CGI and the effects are dumb and kind of goofy.
They are
but they're
they are
not
kind of dumb.
But they're not badly done. They're just a little overly shiny. But they're clearly there's a lot of money and time clearly put into them.
Well, I will say this much about the effects. I remember most of the individual monsters we see. Like the effects aren't great.
Yes,
but there's a good design and enough bit of texture where I remember slime monster, spider monster, protein monster. Like, I remember all of them. They will haunt my dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, spider monster. Did not dig spider monster.
No.
And poor slime monster.
Poor slime monster. And that's another thing about this show is that not all the monsters are harmful. You know,
hashtag
you,
not
you,
all monsters.
And they don't
not
necessarily
all monsters,
work
not all
together.
Monsters.
They are very selfish creatures. It is not Walking Dead. They're not going to be like, I'm going to get the leg, you get the other leg, you get the arm. No, they're like,
put a hole through
your chest. I saw this first.
Yeah.
Yeah, they act like beasts.
Yeah.
Like they're supposed to.
Now, okay, so I was reading the comic, and I just have another question for everybody. So for the monsters, did you all, for the most part, get what the desire for all those people was? Like, the easiest one is the first one you see. Like, can you guys name what her desire was?
Well, she was hungry, she ate her cat.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a softball one.
That was a softball, she ate her cat. I mean, come on. I don't know, I felt that was a little hard. I think it might take a rewatch to get what everybody's desire that led to the change to be. Because it wasn't always said specifically, like, you know, when we get security guy coming back again, like that, like there was just like that one moment at the beginning, and then it kind of plays back into later, and it's like, oh, I don't really get what his desire is other than just being a horrible monster at this moment, you know?
Ooh, and I do love the setup of, like, the first episode was introducing you to all the characters, but also you had to individually decide for yourself which are going to be the crazy characters, who's going to be reliable and whatnot. And I feel like I was wrong most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was super wrong. Like, those first two episodes, I feel like were so many plot threads that don't, they get paid off, but they are not the focus in the way that you think that they will be. And I was continually guessing and continually surprised by almost every major decision that happens, because hierarchies change and there will be full episodes where main characters are just not that important to the episode story, so they're not there that much, and it all feels in service of the ensemble and of the script.
Yeah. So like any other type of show, they would still find a way to shoehorn whoever the lead is.
Yeah, you got to get
every
Rick Grimes
episode,
in
so
there.
So they got their paycheck, right? So
yeah,
and I didn't feel like that was the case with the show at all. I'm getting more and more into Korean dramas because of my love of BTS. Where are they? Right there. Love them. Right there. Okay. but this was something I saw that was pretty unique to this ensemble, is that it was, everybody was multifaceted. So even if they were an asshole or a jerk or whatever like that, that it was a part of something else. It was part of a deeper storytelling.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and just kind of roll those into your final thoughts?
Absolutely. For me, I've always, when I sign up to do series, and especially on a series that's going to drop all at once, it's not my first choice. Like, it's never my first choice to go into and be like, I want to spend 10 hours over a weekend and watching this one show because, you know, I've got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
and some sort of, like, life and job to do as well. But this was actually a really easy binge. I was drawn into the story. The credits are amazing. Like, the opening and closing credits are so stylized and so interesting to watch that I found myself, like, you know, occasionally not skipping them. You know, when you do a binge, you just kind of skip the intro over and over again. Because it was so neat, and it would pull into things from the story into the credits. And that was just a really neat effect that they did there. The cast was amazing. I don't feel like anyone was miscast or you know, kids are annoying in a show, but, you know, it worked for what the story was. There's a couple, there's two kids, there's a little boy and a little girl.
Oh, you know,
and
those
like
kids
they
made
say,
you
never
cry.
Work with children. That's absolutely true. And that's coming from a teacher. Never work with children.
Okay, Harmony. Yes. How many times did you cry? Especially because of those kids.
I got really upset, like maybe, I don't know, maybe like a tear, like once or twice, you know, like, yeah. I don't remember really boohooing. I didn't really get upset until about episode 8. And then that's when I was starting to get just really, that's when like towards the end when we start losing really important people. That, and after being really invested in these characters, just that was heartbreaking to me. Yeah. Like I said, stay out of that damn elevator. I really enjoy this. I highly recommend it for anybody who's looking for a good binge watch, who's interested at all in kind of more nuanced storytelling in this zombie or monster genre. I really enjoyed it. CGI, like you said, is memorable, but it is, you know, it's kind of janky.
It was better than the last episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. I don't know what to say. Like, I hate you so much, Doggett. Like, I don't even know what to do with this right now. I think for me, I'm going to give it 9 out of 10. I know. I usually don't. 9 out of 10. Let me think. I should have thought this earlier. 9 out of 10. We'll just say Cronenberg monsters. Yeah.
All right. Very nice, Doggett.
Well, I think the biggest strength of the show is that even during its stupid comic moments are so badass. Like, there's a scene where there's somebody who's sitting outside of a window after they just did something pretty cool, and that has burned into my mind, like, forever. And I love that character, by the way. That's, like, him and Grandpa, like, are the best characters of the show for me. And yeah. There's so many characters that I think you could debate are the emotional center of the show, that this, it's hard because, like, this might be one of the top 10 Asian comics to live action adaptations. Like, maybe I don't watch enough of them, but this really captured something that I think is special, and I think more people should watch it. And I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 hand spikes.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah, so I'm with y'all. This is a ton of fun. It is silly in the right places. It's just kind of a blast, honestly. So I signed up for this because I thought that this might have been an adaptation of the Capcom video game Sweet Home from the early 90s, which was the kind of spiritual predecessor to the Resident Evil games, which I really like. And I was like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. And so I signed up, and then I watched the trailer, and I went, oh, this is just a different thing with the same title. I wanted my Resident Evil. And then I got it. And that was just the most beautiful character arc of 2020 for me, was finding that this weird little Korean mashup of Resident Evil and The Mist was basically everything I wanted it to be. It is, yeah, it is stupid, and it is bombastic, and it paints with broad strokes, but it does it all intentionally and with love and with a real eye for how to lean into the strengths and the weaknesses in a way that makes it a really compelling series. The only, like, true complaint that I have is that this is, like, so obviously setting up a sequel in its final moments, and I don't know how that's gonna work, because the things that make the show great, a lot of them, are not going to be able to be reused in a second season for a multitude of reasons.
There's, like, 180 chapters to this. And it's still going.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. That is interesting. However, I will say there are also a lot of Walking Dead comics, and that show went downhill real fast after season one, and I don't want that to happen to this as well. Outside of that, though, there are, if this is your kind of thing, if you like horror-themed things that aren't really scary but are just real cool, then you have no reason to not watch this as soon as possible. Real quick, the guy with half, the monster with half his face chopped off, that is like one of the big promotional images, is a fucking incredible character design, and the animation for that using a lot of like stop motion techniques is A+ work. And I love that whole, I love everything about that like monster design and how that all worked. I am going to give this 8 out of 10 electric spears.
Electric kitchen.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because that monster specifically, like a lot of times will be used for promotional work, like for the comic. It's a scene where the character's hiding and there's like, it's that monster like walking through a hallway saying, "I hear you."
Because his eye, the top part is gone. Yeah.
Yeah. It got katana'd.
Oh, that would have been, see, is it a katana if it's Korean? I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
It got sorted.
Oh my gosh. Oh no. That's a terrible place to stop this. We need a better joke to end it on.
I'm ending it on sorted.